Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
And welcome to Falcon Cast. I am not Jay Adams. I'm actually Matt Moore, filling in for Jay Adams. Jay is up with his family. His dad, Jerry, just had a little bit of surgery, and just checked in with Jay before this, and yeah, it sounds like everything's going well up there. So, hey, Jerry, we know you watch the Falcon Cast every week, so we want to say speedy recovery, and Jay, we miss you. Get back soon, but glad you guys are all doing well up there in New York. And as always, alongside Jay is Daniel Cox. Yes. And Daniel, how are we doing?
Good, good. It's good to be back in Atlanta.
Absolutely. So, I think the last time I was on Falcon Cast, I had just gotten back from the Senior Bowl. So yes, it's kind of convenient that this Falcon Cast, I just got back from the Combine.
Right.
And you were up there with us, as well as Robert Jilks, who did a good job. That was his first time. Is this your second time at the Combine?
Second or third, yeah. It's been a couple of years, though.
It has for me as well. Conveniently, we've normally had some low picks, so I don't usually go up there. Same thing with the Senior Bowl. So, you know, I can't get over how big it gets every year. Every year it's bigger, and I couldn't believe, one, how many people were there, the hype around it, and just it really takes over the city. And I more so than I can ever remember. I think this is fifth or sixth time I've been.
Yeah, I think there were over 900 media requests, and while there were never 900 media members or affiliates or whatever, in the room, so to speak, at one time, it was clear there was a lot of people there, and it kind of serves to, I love the event. I love going because it just feels like you're in the middle of everything that's going to happen in the NFL for that week, and kind of jump starts the whole season. And everyone that works in the league or is involved in the league in some way or covers the league or represents the league even was in Indianapolis, so you feel like you're in the middle of it.
It's crazy to set it up real quick before we get in some guy, you know, talk about some guys that impressed us and were standouts.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, on one side of the room, there's the NFL people talking.
Yeah.
And so you're getting the juice about where are they going free agency? Mm-hmm. Was someone almost traded for to be the head coach?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And then on the other side of the room is all the standout players that are coming. And then in between, there's tables of, you know, some of the guys that may go in the mid rounds and undrafted. So you look around and you hope you don't miss anything.
Yeah. There's and that's the thing, as the day progresses, I love the action of it, but it is, there's a lot of work and there's a lot of paying attention and a lot of starting and stopping. You know, I know all three of us would be working on something that we had, you know, received or gotten or began to work on an hour ago, and they continue to bring guys in, and they'll announce them over the intercom, and you know, now we got to go find table B real quick because we would like to hear from this guy. There's a lot of action, there's a lot going on, and I enjoy it every year.
It is. It's a unique experience, and you know, even people that aren't involved in the media area, just it really takes over the whole city.
Yeah.
You go in like St. Elmo's Steakhouse and. It's pick who you want to see eating steak in there, because you'll see, you know, coaches, execs, you know, agents, a lot of agents there too.
Yeah.
I think that goes lost too, is how many, you know, the agents have their annual meeting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of that, you know, setting up for free agency.
Yeah.
No tampering going on,
right,
but the setting up for free agency is in full effect once Indy hits.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, and again, I know we're trying to move on, but a lot of people don't realize quite why we're there, because they see on TV that the Combine starts on Saturday, whereas we got in on Wednesday and we started covering things on Thursday. You know, just like they do the Combine workouts in groups on TV, they bring them through this tremendously large media room, you know, a couple of days in advance of that, and they bring them in through groups as well. I was curious about something from you. You've been behind the camera at the Combine and a lot of, did I say in front of? I said,
you know, no, behind, you're right.
Behind, you know, in a lot of different interviews. And for me, like, it's interesting. We see what these guys do on the field, and we know that they meet with teams, but I always like to try to get a little bit of a feel for that guy from the just from an interview, like how he handles himself in front of the media. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you can gain something from the guys, like just how they interact?
100%. And it's funny you say that. We can start getting into some of the guys. I think, you know, you talk about we were there Thursday. That's when the O-line group came in. And, you know, Greg Robinson, I think he started turning heads, and he's one of the guys that we want to talk about as a surprise. How he handled himself, and he came off, you know, you want to come off as, like, you know, a nice guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he kind of came off as, like, well, hey, you know, almost giving a message to people, like, you're going to want to draft me, and you're not going to want to play against me.
Yeah. Yeah, his 15 minutes in front of the media was enjoyable, and you're starting to try to figure these guys out. And Robinson, Gray Robinson presented himself. For a lot of us, that was the first time we'd actually really had a chance to meet with him. And when I say meet, just kind of sit and, like, ask him some questions or whatever. He stood out as a guy that is just – there's an attitude about him that's it's all football oriented, and he's got a little mean streak to him, I guess. But it's not so much mean as he just seemed like he's all about business on the field.
Absolutely, he came off as a football player, and you know, to go along with that, yes, you know, I thought some of the bigger press conferences, for the most part, everyone handled themselves very well. Yeah. You know, the Michael Sam's press conference is probably the biggest press conference I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've been at, you know, some of the Michael Vick ones back in 07. I saw, you know, Vince Young and
Tebow was a big one. That stands out to me as creating a large crowd.
But this was huge. Clowney was huge. Johnny Football was big. And, you know, I thought a credit to those guys, their publicists, their agents, their surrounding, you know, the people that are helping them. They all did a good job and they handled it well, because that's not easy to do. That's a lot of people that and a lot of cameras that are pointing at your face. Going back to Robinson, and then you can kind of talk to some other guys that surprised you. You know, we learned about his mean streak when he talked to the media. Then he goes on Saturday and really just tears it up.
Yeah. What is he? 6'5", 332. He's such a large guy to begin with, and then he moves. Well, his official time was what? I have 4.92. Yeah, 32 reps on the bench press. I mean, these are just the athleticism. It just blows you away.
And it's funny with the O-line, you're like 4.92. That's still so fast. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. I don't think I've ever ran the 40 that fast, even when I was a bit in shape in high school. And that's fast. But these guys, some of their splits, their 10-yard splits too, is what you look at, and those were incredibly fast. Another big guy that I think you had listed is a surprise, and it's a guy that we saw at the Senior Bowl, was Rashid Hageman.
Yeah, you know, he's a defensive tackle, and you talk about those media interviews. He really struck me as a guy that he fully admitted, I haven't played on the – he was a converted tight end. I haven't played on the defensive side for a long time, but I feel like what I have – you know, the time that I have put in has been productive, and he struck me as a guy that's willing to absorb information. I know he had a pretty good connection with Falcons defensive line coach, or new defensive line coach Brian Cox as well at the Senior Bowl. He just struck me as a guy that's just going to come in and work hard, and he's massive. He's 6'6", 310. He's a defensive tackle. He said he can play all over the defensive line and all the different techniques, and 3-4, 4-3, extremely versatile guy. And then he hit the field, and he looked really good out there. He ran a good time, good bench press reps. He's a guy that I was curious about, and I think he performed a little bit better from my perspective, a little bit better than I was expecting.
Yeah, you know, alongside the drills, it's nice to hear a guy that comes in and says he can play both, you know, inside the three-point technique, even move him outside a little bit. And, you know, in this day and age in the NFL, if you can get a guy that is, you know, labeled as a hybrid, you can move around and put him in rotations and, you know, in different schemes when it's necessary, you know, depending on, you know, down and distance. That's really nice to have. It was good to hear that he can do that stuff.
Extremely athletic, and we saw that again with his 5.02 40. He said, you know, some players that he likes to watch, and this is always fun to hear who they say they follow. They stop short of comparing themselves, obviously, but the questions are asked. Sue and J.J. Watt. And I just looked them up, looked at their combine, and this is on AtlantaFalcons.com as well. I just took a look. It's not a comparison, but I took a look just to see what their some of their combine numbers looked like, as well as like just from a size perspective, and they're virtually identical. So it kind of gives you an idea what a role that Hageman can play in the NFL, and that's encouraging.
Yeah, and then quickly, a couple guys that I really stood out to me were the two other O linemen. I think I think there's the big four right now in the O line class. You know, you got Matthews, Luan, Robinson. Actually, would be and then Zach Martin. I think is labeled in that as well. Mm-hmm. But I thought Luan, he was kind of the unknown.
Yeah,
probably because he doesn't play in the Southeastern Conference, and we don't see him as much.
Yeah.
We don't tune into the Big Ten network as much as we do you know, the local stuff. But one, I thought his press conference was awesome.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of guy that, you know, you look for that toughness factor. Mm-hmm. I like that he said his strength was that he plays to the whistle.
Yeah.
And his weakness is that he plays to the whistle.
Yeah.
So he's got a mean streak. Sounds like he got a few personal fouls for you know, going a little late. But, you know, kind of maybe reminds you of some of the stuff that Claybo and Harvey Dahl used to do.
Yeah,
they always would say they play to the whistle. And, you know, everyone's been saying we need that toughness factor and we got to get tougher. I think he did that. He came off on that on his press conference, but also carried that over to his combine drills. And you know what? I think he's right there with these other guys, and there's not much separation.
Yeah, Mike Mayock, when he finished up or Sunday evening, he did a press conference from the combine, and he said these three tackles are all top 10 guys. There's no question about it. In fact, he said these three guys are better than the three offensive tackles that went in the top four picks last year.
Wow.
So that says Luan, 6'7", 309, 487, 40, had a bunch of bench press reps. Yeah, I mean, he as far as surprises go, you kind of knew what you were getting with Matthews and Robinson to some extent heading in, and he was still that third guy. He definitely, you know, put himself into the top 10 for sure.
And then you look at Matthews.
He's kind of the forgotten man almost.
And he shouldn't be. But you know what it is? And Robert Gilkes and I were talking about this at dinner one night afterwards, and we actually went to his Wikipedia and looked at like his family tree, and just he kind of goes unnoticed because he's so prepared.
Yeah,
I mean his surrounding,
it's
the people around him. It's like he already knows what the NFL's like, and then knew what to expect on the drills, knew what to do on the press conferences, on the interviews, and carries it right then, and had a great weekend. I think he, you know, totally solidified what everyone thought about him.
Yeah, he didn't hurt himself at all. And it's so funny to talk about his bloodlines. Like, I know he's related to like six or seven different NFL players. One of them is his dad. One of them is his uncle.
So his uncle has some Falcon ties.
Yeah, yeah. So
and his dad, he's like the Iron Man of the NFL.
It's Bruce, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, played in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then his cousin is Jake Matthews and Casey Matthews.
Right.
Both in the league.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And you with those bloodlines, you would just immediately assume that he's going to be good, and that's all he's shown. And again, he's 6'5", 308, 507 was his 40 time. Still a really good time. He just kind of overshadowed by some of those faster numbers. But, yeah, as from an all-around perspective, he had a great week, and that's something Thomas Dimitroff has continued to say about him, just from a technique standpoint, just a, you know, technician for what you want as a left tackle. He's kind of the prototype in that regard.
All right, a couple of standouts that I think we need to talk about before we go. Clowney and Donald, they were in kind of the same group yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think everyone started tweeting about Clowney's 40 time and his vertical. And, you know, the guy is a monster. Put together, I can't believe someone that big and strong can run that fast.
Yeah.
And then you also have Luke Donald kind of overshadowed him.
Yeah.
Because a guy that big is running that fast.
Yeah. Aaron Donald, it's interesting because you're right. Clowney did get a little bit of the immediate buzz. And then Aaron Donald ran his 40 a little while later. And what was that? That was, 4.68, and he had 35 reps the previous day on a bench press. You know, they call him an undersized defensive tackle, 6'1", 285, but you can make up a lot in being undersized by being quick and fast. And Donald, wow, he that was really impressive what he did.
You know, it's funny, real quick on Donald is, you know, pre-Senior Bowl, this guy was like second, third rounder.
Yeah.
Now you're wondering how far up in the first round he's going to go.
Oh, absolutely. That's, Rob and I were talking about that just a short little while ago. You know, like you said, yeah, absolutely. Even after his, I mean, his complete dominance of the Senior Bowl, he was still considered like a second round guy. Probably moving up, he definitely had the arrow pointing up. But after what he did, I mean, if he's past pick 15, I'd be shocked.
I'm exactly with you. I told Rob that as well. I mean, he's, that guy has really made the most of his opportunity. Absolutely. And good for him. Two other guys that I had real quick was Khalil Mack. You know, he's kind of gets lost sometimes in the clowning.
Almost Robinson, like the Jake Matthews scenario on defense.
But guys put together, had a great workout. Time, you know, was exactly what you're looking for in the average of linebacker.
Yep.
And then you look at his drills, and I thought he came off pretty cool. I think you compared him. He has a little charisma to Sean Weatherspoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's built just like the guy, too. I mean, he's thick as – thick as what? I don't know. But
he's put together.
Yeah. But, yeah, charisma. I mean, his media session, I mean, he owned it. Mm-hmm. It's always fun when you can tell when the reporters and people that are asking questions start to laugh and joke around with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He controlled it from that perspective. It was funny when he was asked about Mike Mayock comments in the previous days about being maybe the top overall pick if Mike Mayock was running things. He said,
"Love Mike Mayock." Yeah,
and then he wanted to prove him right.
Yeah,
and I love that as well. So yeah, I mean, he didn't blow things away, but he didn't hurt himself at all.
And then Dre Archer, Kent State, was one other guy that I thought had an incredible combine. Guy ran a 4.26, and then you and I were looking at his numbers. I guess he was a little banged up in 13.
Had an ankle injury, as a senior.
But man, 2012, he had over 1,400 yards, 6 rushing touchdowns. 16 rushing touchdowns, and 4 receiving touchdowns, and then 3 kick return TDs. Yeah. So it's nice to see a guy not only can run a 4.26 40, carry the ball, but then you put him back in a punt return situation, something the Falcons may be looking at.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting scenario. And he's kind of that running back slash a lot of other things guy. And there's some people that believe the Falcons will pick a running back somewhere in some of those middle rounds. He's not necessarily going to be the running back that might be taken there because he's a little bit smaller. You kind of have to get creative, I think, with how you use him. So that'll be an interesting scenario for the Falcons as they kind of take a more traditional running back that can pass catch or catch some passes out of the backfield. But, wow, I mean, you can't argue with speed like that.
Yeah,
and
can't teach speed, well. Right? Yeah, so that's good to see. Here, we're wrapping up right here. One thing, Daniel, I'll just throw at you.
Okay.
I think I know I feel this way, but I think if you stay at pick 6, and I don't know about trading up, trading down. Those are options, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
If you stay at pick 6, I think you're going to be very, very happy with the person you get there. There's going to be a standout franchise-type player stud there at 6.
And then if we learned anything at the combine, it's that you've got 6 or 7. I'm not even going to try to name them off, but there's 6 or 7 guys that definitely emerged as the top guys in the draft. And sitting at number 6... with a need at a place where most of those guys play, you're going to be just fine.
I agree. All right. Well, once again, just filling in for Jay, just keeping this seat warm. Jay will be back for the next Falcon Cast. And Daniel, enjoyed our time at the Combine. Thanks to Robert Gilks for producing this Falcon Cast. And keep tuning to AtlantaFalcons.com. We've got a lot of stuff, you know, more stuff left over from the Combine. There's going to be some more 40 videos and we're going to keep rolling right onto the draft because that's the hot topic.
10 weeks away.
So here we go. Strap in. Let's get ready. And like we said, there's a lot of good players that I think all of you would be very excited for if they became Falcons. So thanks for tuning into this edition of Falcon Cast, and we'll see you next time.